This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Julian Ng, and on the Breakfast Grill today is Datuk Musa Yusof, Director General of Tourism Malaysia. And Tourism Malaysia is a promotional and marketing agency under the Ministry of Tourism, Arts and Culture. Datuk, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Julian.
And the situation of the Wuhan virus, of course, is getting very worrying. The coronavirus deaths in China have now overtaken that of SARS, and the number of infections is growing at a very alarming rate, and in 1 month has exceeded the number of SARS cases, which lasted for 8 months. Experts are saying that this is likely to become a global pandemic. What are your thoughts on this, on how it impacts not only tourism in Malaysia, but also lives in Malaysia?
Well, directly with regard to the question, Julian, Malaysia, I think we are, if you look into the WHO's data, saying that Malaysia is one of the countries that's already, you know, one of the top, that ready with all these kind of things. And we even ready before the coronavirus coming in. So as you can see what the MOH statements yesterday and the rest, they're keeping, everybody knows about it. In terms of tourism, yesterday we had this, what we call it, track meeting, TRAC, Tourism Recovery Action Committee. This is high level in the Ministry of Tourism, themselves with Tourism Malaysia as a marketing body, for us to gather the rest of the industry players, the NGOs, the association and the rest, and for us to measure what are the effect of that, the impact, even the airlines coming in with us. Therefore, through that, we come up with a quick wins kind of thing. What are we going to do in terms of promotion, as well as how to convey this to the potential tourists coming into the country? You know, because we are basically, from our findings, that most of the cases coming in from tourists coming in into Malaysia.
Then the only
one case yesterday was announced, you know, within this guy, a Malaysian, who went for a conference in Singapore. We were told. So these are still being contained, and we are closely monitoring this in terms of tourism.
But what are some of the conclusions of your discussions as to what is to be done, especially in terms of containment and also in terms of your promotional activities as far as travel advisory is concerned?
Well, okay, in terms of containment, we leave it to the Ministry of Health. Basically, they will update us. We are communicating with them in terms of coronavirus. But in terms of tourism per se, this is where the ministry is coming in.
You're a promotional agency, right?
Yeah.
So what you're going to say out there, people will have, you know, you want them to listen to you. What are you saying about containment within the shores of Malaysia
Basically, as far as the virus is concerned? In a short form, we can say Malaysia is safe. You know, because the whole procedures under WHO, the Ministry of Health looking into it, all our entry point, air, sea, as well as land, being well protected. We scan and we measure whatever thing. Even the cruise ships coming in, we do that. And this is the finding that we have yesterday when the Ministry of Health coming in and to brief her in detail. So whatever in terms of this, what you mentioned, the pandemic things or the outbreak, the Ministry of Health will provide us and we will go into this. You know, we will talk the same thing. Because this
shouldn't this be on a live basis, right? It must go live as far as the developments are concerned. But you're saying that you're waiting for the Ministry of Tourism or health
virus.
Shouldn't
thing?
This be a live update kind of thing?
Oh yeah, yeah, live update. The Ministry of Health.
And your live update right now is that everything is okay right now? Everything is contained?
For us, because we are, you know, we have to talk to the audience out there in the same message. Whatever thing, because in terms of crisis communication currently, it is in terms of the outbreak of
So just disease. To confirm, the MOH and the Ministry of Tourism, Arts and Culture is saying that things are okay right now to you, and this is what you're telling the public.
Yeah, in terms of coming into Malaysia, we do not, for example, it is okay for them, anybody to come into Malaysia, because in terms of procedures, we have all these procedures. We scan with things, people coming in into Malaysia.
So what are the procedures again, Dato? Are you scanning everybody?
Your question basically more on the Ministry of Health. But whatever thing they mentioned, those are the things that we have to get across to the public, either here or for the tourists. And what we do is through our stations, 30, 30, 5 station of ours overseas, we did mention whatever things the Ministry of Health in terms of their advice, but we add on to it. For example, they can check on the hotel themselves. They can also check with the tour operators. Currently, what we have is that the question coming from the tour operators, outbound operators from overseas, asking, is it safe coming into Malaysia? So we say yes, and we have to tell the truth, because those 8 earlier packs coming in, basically they are the tourists coming into Malaysia. There's no localized people, even contraction between Malaysian. Except this one just yesterday, I think it was announced by Ministry of Health, this guy coming in from a conference in Singapore. But everything being checked, and to us, we have to convey this to the operators outside there.
Many countries in the world are actually issuing travel restrictions to and from China. And in fact, they are going against the advice of the World Health Organization as well. Now, the Ministry of Tourism, Arts and Culture, of which you're under, is also revising its targets. Other countries are barring flights from China. In total, 10,000 flights have been cancelled. It seems that what you're saying is business as usual compared to really re-strategizing and reacting to the information about the virus.
Now, in term of tourism, we have to convey whatever things that the Ministry of Health mentioning. So this is in terms of that. But in terms of marketing, of course, we have to re-strategize what are the markets. Even before coronavirus coming in, we're already looking at Visit Malaysia 2020 with a target of 30 million and 100 billion. What should we do? And we already planned that way ahead. We're talking about ASEAN market, for example. These are the market that we're looking at. That one, even before coronavirus coming in. So because, why? Because 68% of the contributors in terms of tourism is a cross-border. So the short-haul markets within ours is the one that we should look into in order for us to reach the target in terms of arrival as well as in terms of receipt. And again, like I said, it was even before coronavirus. So we are going into that and intensifying all those in order to work with the airlines.
If you look at what happened in SARS in 2003, tourist arrivals as a whole fell by 20%. The tourism from China, small at the time in 2003, fell 37%, and tourist receipts fell by 18%. When you're saying you are refocusing to short-haul flights from ASEAN and China can be considered a short-haul flight as well, wouldn't your targets for this year be affected significantly?
That's what I said. We are closely monitoring. First of all, China is a medium-haul market. Mm-hmm. So it is not a short-haul market to us, because short-haul market meaning 3 hours and below.
Okay, but the overall impact of the disease would affect the decisions being made by other tourists as well, right?
Of course. Yeah. Currently, we can see there's a lot of cancellation coming from China. It is not because cancellation, they're deferring it or postponing it. You know why? Because there's a restriction by the China government themselves for the Chinese to travel out, especially the lockdown in Wuhan and Hebei area and then another areas as well. So it is restriction by their government. For example, people coming in from other parts, for example, Beijing or Chengdu, the other sides, Yunnan province into Malaysia, they still can come, but the vetting will be checked at the entry point. If they have a fever, things like that, of course they'll be quarantined.
Okay, the issue now is in how this will affect your targets for this year. Actually, just as a background, the Tourism Malaysia receives a special allocation, about 90 million ringgit from the ministry. And this is on top of the 140 million of your usual advertising and promotional budget. Is all this money going to waste because the Wuhan virus is going to slash the arrival numbers? And will you have to re-strategize drastically? Okay. Not business as usual. The question is whether you have to re-strategize drastically.
Of course, yeah. We are re-strategizing it once, because, like I said, we are going for the border, cross-border tourism, because that's the contribution more than 68%. So we are looking at ASEAN. Like again, I said, we are looking into this because even before coronavirus. Secondly, we are looking into the West Asia markets. You know why? Because there are a lot of Middle Eastern flights into Malaysia. We are currently working with them as well. Another one is that we are also looking at the Central Asia, because the increase of 89% from Central Asia. You know what Central Asia is? It's Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, and there's flights already coming in into Malaysia, and a lot of charters flight as well. And these are the we are bringing into that. And South Asia, not forgetting India, is increased by last year. We can see about 22%, and this is market not very much affected. And we already mobilized our team from 1st January. They're already out. Because this is time for us to do the marketing. So when Wuhan virus coming in, we already re-strategizing it. And like I said, business as usual, it's because we are still welcoming the tourists coming into Malaysia.
Okay. So Dato, 2020 has been designated as a Visit Malaysia year, a VMY 2020. What exactly are we promoting for VMY 2020?
Okay, VMY 2020, you know, we have this idea of this Visit Malaysia year way back here. Let me tell you, the target for 2020, 30 million visitors or tourists, and then 100 billion ringgit of receipt. It was already planned way back 10 years ago. In 2009, we already put in within 10 years, what are the targets of ours?
What are the stuff that kind of stuff that you're promoting?
Well, we're promoting. If you look into the Visit Malaysia, this is our fifth Visit Malaysia year. Yeah? We are looking into ecotourism, and then arts and culture that we are promoting. Those are the diversity within Malaysia that we are promoting. And ecotourism, this is a strong selling point for us, because more than 50% of ours is still rainforest and ecotourism things.
Okay, Dato, I want you to hold that thought for a bit because we are going for an ad break. Right now, we have Dato Musa Yusof, Director General of Tourism Malaysia, and we're talking about how the virus is going to affect tourism in Malaysia. And we'll be back with more after this. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
This morning on Breakfast Grill, we have Dato Musa Yusof, Director General of Tourism Malaysia. And Dato, earlier on, we were talking about VMY 2020, Visit Malaysia Year 2020. And just continuing with the conversation, you've been talking about targets that have been planned 10 years ago, 100 billion tourism receipts. Now, if we look at some of the comparison numbers, the VMY 2020 targets look quite mundane. It's just roughly a growth of about 10% for both tourism receipts and as well as tourism arrivals. What is so great about this idea of VMY 2020 from a promotional viewpoint?
Okay, like I said, way back in 2009, we already planned by 2020, you know, this is Vision 2020, what are the things that we're going to receive in terms of tourism?
So but you're going to spend a lot of money on this, right, to promote VMY 2020. And the amount of money that you're going to spend is just to push growth of tourism in Malaysia from 28 million in 2019 to about 30 million in 2020. That's not fantastic growth.
No, actually, it is not that we are looking from 2019. That's why I said Visit Malaysia years, it was approved in 2017. Way ahead, we have to do it 3 years or 4 years before. So if you look at 1990, it was the first Visit Malaysia year in 1990. We started the planning for it and going for it and marketing for it in 1986. It is 4 years ahead. So in terms of 2020, it is not that we are promoting in 2020 for 2020 results. We are already moving in 2017. For this one. This is what we're planning in the way in 2009. What are the, in terms of growth that we're looking at, and in terms of per capita?
That's like 10, 20 years strategy. Isn't that, does that feel a little bit outdated?
Well, this is what we revised. That's why we revised it. Way back in 2007. You know, remember 2014, what happened?
Actually, I'm just asking the question of whether there is anything that stands out and anything that's special for VMY 2020. Yeah. Is there? Compared to how does this compare to normal years of the tourism coming into Malaysia?
Okay, in terms of 2020, what we are featuring was the ecotourism. Currently, what the tourists needs, they are looking at how we protect the environment. What's the experience they can have when they're traveling to certain destination, experiential tourism. Within that, what's the blue economy? How we protect our sea? How we protect underneath the sea? How we protect our beaches?
Okay, and how do you do it?
So these are the things that we are telling. We are the marketing body, like you said earlier. We are creating the demand. This is what we have this program with our suppliers.
Can you quickly say a few words about Malaysia's strategy in conservation? Because as we know, tourism actually harms the environment quite a lot.
No, actually,
the carbon footprint is quite big.
They're talking about now mass tourism. We are not going into that. That's why we revised our figure in terms of arrival. We are going for the income of tourism, not so much in terms of quantity of tourists coming in. If you look at other countries, they're going into up to 70 million tourists coming. We are looking into the income generated into the countries, not so much in terms of the numbers of people coming in. And these are the things that we are looking at. In terms of, we are talking about environment,
you,
we are the one who's looking into the environment.
If you want to have a strategy of growing your income, for example, and I have 2017 numbers here only. In 2017, the contribution to GDP for Malaysia was about 15 billion ringgit. 15 billion US, right, contribution to GDP, whereas in Thailand, it was 40 billion US dollars. So if you want to increase income, as you say, that would lead to a lot of volume, which lead to environmental degradation. What is your conservation stance here?
It is not in terms of we have to increase the volume.
But if you want to increase income, there has to be some impact, right? It'd be good for business interests. Yeah. That is undeniable. But then, if you raise conservation as one of your promotional campaigns, what kind of safeguards have you?
When you increase your conservation, you see you are attracting a quality tourist coming in. Those tourists coming in for ecotourism, they are willing to pay a lot more than the mass tourism. So this is what, you know, how much is it going to a rainforest lodge in Danum Valley per night? 2,000 ringgit. And people paying for 2,000 ringgit and staying for 15 days. And this is what other thing that
we want. How much is the growth of visits to these ecotourism spots?
Okay, we're looking to growth in terms of, about 5%, about 5% into that, and we're looking into 8%. Of course, Malaysia still, it is, we have a mass, close border tourism, people coming in. If you look into this, from Singapore and our neighboring countries, we are not, you see our beaches. Why people coming into Malaysia? They say, hey, we can be at the beaches, we can feel there alone, we don't have that, so many people there in some of our neighboring countries. And these are the things. And when we're talking about quality tourism, these are the things that we have to preserve and conserve our environment in order to get this quality tourists. And they're willing to pay more because their contribution to the environment, this is what they want to feel. And experiential tourism as well. That we are moving into from normal city tours and the rest into experiential tourism, people going into off the beaten track in order to feel what other things they can show, and they're willing to pay for it.
And there has been some reports that the government is also focusing on theme parks. That really is that the plan for the government? A news report saying that the government is focusing on theme parks, does that go against this idea of going
to... No, actually, tourism is very much a private sector driven. You see, Malaysia is the destinations that different. The things that they're looking into Malaysia, this is a family destination. We are not some of our neighbouring countries. It is not so much of family. We are looking into family destination. From our feedback that we receive from the tourists, they are coming in with a family. They need the destination they can enjoy. In terms of development of theme park, the state government looking into it. It is not that freely that you can open up and just do a theme park. And theme park must have the international standard. And these are the things that we are doing. For example, the recent one in Desaru Coast. You see there's a theme park and then this the hotels. And there's a hotel for the businesses, for the MICE group, and then also for the honeymoon. So this is integrated resort. And people coming into this area, and they're willing to pay because there's a demand for it. And this is like, again, I said, it's a private sector investment. And it's up to the private sector. And they were not going to invest if there's no return on their investment. And for us, we applaud that. And we are working with them closely in order to help them to promote the area. And we have a different market segment. For example, West Asia, they are very much a family. And they spend more than 12,000 ringgit per capita when they come into Malaysia, and they are coming in with their family.
Yeah, in fact, some of these per capita spending numbers that I have here, China at about 5,000 ringgit per capita coming in each of those tourists, that's double of the Singaporean tourists. But when we imagine China, we kind of imagine that that is a mass market travel, and yet they're spending more than double of the average Singaporean. What's your A&P strategy here? Are you going for the premium customer, or are you going for the mass market?
No, we're going for the premium. Even if you're talking about China just now, Malaysian always known for the group series coming in. Currently, what we are doing, we are working with the operators outbound there in order to work on the FIT, the free individual travelers. And we realize these people traveling, they are in a smaller group, maybe four of them, five of them, you know, and they are coming in through digital. You know, they get all this information from the OTA. So, for example, in China, we are working with Ctrip, the biggest OTA in China. We get more than 2,400 packages on Malaysia. And we realize there's a lot of FITs coming in into Malaysia. So we're doing away with slowly with the group series. And first tier, second tier cities, there's a lot of FITs coming in. Now we're looking at third or fourth tier cities coming in a group series. Because why group series? They are not conversant in English. They got the tour leader. But those already coming down. We spoke to some of the airlines directly from China. Well, you know what they said? They said, they are increasing, they're having about up to 40% of FITs coming in.
So, Dato, if we take away Singaporeans, because that's not counted, right? It's almost like a local tourist arrival. So let's just leave Singapore aside. China is number two in terms of arrivals, and India is about top five. Do you think that this tiff that Malaysia is currently having with India, India is not very happy with Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir making comments about the Kashmir situation, and they're boycotting the palm oil purchases? Do you think that tourist arrivals from India will also be affected?
We don't see that in terms of trend. Like I said, last year, despite the fact in terms of palm oil, we still received 22% increase in terms of tourists from India. We already issued e-visas to the India and the Chinese resident. The Indian can come into Malaysia. Then even we introduce for those applying for e-visa, they can also request for multiple entry. So for Indian, there's something special that we can do with them. And for this year, we have a group of travel fraternities coming into Malaysia for their conferences. And from our information that we receive and from our stations there, there's business as usual, people coming into Malaysia. And we are working this one closely with all the airlines coming into Malaysia as well as Indigo, those the airlines from India coming into Malaysia. So we don't see any problem with regard to that, because tourism, we do not involve politics. You know, people just travel, and to them, if they get the right information, they know the price, they will come to Malaysia.
Okay, Dato, in the interest of time, just one last question, and this is on Malaysia Airlines, which has been cutting routes over the years and is now facing an existential crisis because the government needs to think of what to do with Malaysia Airlines, which has been making huge amounts of losses. Are airlines, and in particular Malaysia Airlines, a big factor in driving arrivals to Malaysia?
Of course. Malaysia Airlines, not only Malaysia Airlines, but AirAsia as well as Malindo coming in. Mm-hmm. Those Malaysian
and do you think that Malaysia Airlines is now is a big factor in affecting the tourist numbers coming to Malaysia?
No, I don't think so. You know why? Because in terms of airlines, everywhere in the world, now this hub and spoke kind of thing is coming in. You cannot work alone. They are doing now partnership with other airlines. They are doing a code share. They are looking at SPA and all those things. And to us, we are working with any airlines. We can also work with Malaysia Airlines, but people traveling all the way from other parts, because they are already code share with Emirates, with Al Qatar and other airlines. So there's not a problem to the airlines. To me, in terms of their business model and the rest, it is on their, you know, if they can grow, people would like to travel directly with Malaysia Airlines because they want to feel the good factor of coming to these countries with the own national carrier. But to us, it is okay. You know, they are not affecting any. You know.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Dato. And that was Dato Musa Yusof, Director General of Tourism Malaysia, on this morning's Breakfast Grill. I'm Julian Ng, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.